You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning, we are welcoming and we are joined by Ren, who is performing a one-person show, The Queer as Fuck, which they call a multi-layered coming-up process that exposes the complex tensions between being authentic to oneself and belonging, which is a challenging thing to...
It's a lot. It's a lot of words. Yeah. And it's a pretty complex concept, but so is gender and so is sexuality.
Absolutely.
So I do my best to unpack that for myself in one very short, quick hour.
Well, thank you so much for coming in this morning and joining us.
Oh, I'm very excited to be here.
It's lovely.
Love the station.
Lovely to have you. I think... Just for the listeners and also for me personally, I would love for you to just tell us a little bit about Queer as Fuck, and if you could just introduce it as a whole and the concept behind it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, in many ways, it's like a lot of other autobiographical shows. It's about my story, but as most people who are adults who are listening to this know, coming out is, although it's often associated just with coming out as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or being trans, there's so many ways that we find out what our own personal proclivities are that might not have quite matched or fit with what we were told they ought to be. Mm-hmm. It's an hour-long exploration of all the different life experiences I've had from being raised quite American and very, very Christian in a sort of way that only Americans can be. Moving from that through life experiences, realizing just how broad and open and diverse I am as a person, not just in terms of being queer, but also within the umbrella of queerness, how many different aspects there were. Every time I reached a new label and discovered something new about myself, I'd also discover a community and then the limits of that community and that label to define me. So it's a journey through labels in a lot of ways, and all the things that can come with the limitations and the beauty of having them.
So why did you find yourself, or why do you think there are restrictions still within this queer community?
I think it's really just a very human thing of wanting to have a space where you belong and wanting to understand boundaries and limitations, and those can be actually quite liberating for people, in the sense that when you discover, I found something that's truly me,
yeah.
You know, like I'm sure you've had this regardless. I'm not going to ask you what your labels are, but you know, anybody who defines himself, you go up to say, oh, tell me a little bit about yourself, and you say, well, you know, some people say I'm a parent or I'm a student or whatever, and that defines this huge, huge portion of their life, right? But the thing with those other labels is that we know that they're not, you know, perhaps with the exception of being a parent, they're not static. They change. They change over time. But we're kind of uncomfortable, even within the queer community, of labels changing over a person's lifetime as they have more and more experiences. And in the case of these days, there's more and more labels to choose from now than there were,
yeah,
even 5 years ago. So I don't know. We should expect some shifts. You know, we should expect, someone who I thought of as, for example, there's a lot of butch lesbians out there that they, you know, one day they're like, oh, actually, I'm a dude, you know, and we got to get more comfortable with that.
Absolutely. So within the play, you aim to parody, as you said, the truths about our modern world's desperation for definition. Why do you think we live in this world of definition?
Because we're in a very fast society. I mean, even here, New Zealand, I think, is a bit slower than some other countries in some really lovely, healthful ways, honestly. I think it has to do with the pace of life, honestly. We want to communicate a lot of information in a very fast way. And now, in terms of how labels work, we're running into that confrontation between, okay, we've got all these terms that are supposed to communicate a lot of information quickly, and most people don't know most of them. They are contextual. They only work in certain environments.
Mm.
So there's a conflict there. And I think we just enjoy, there's so much complexity in life. We want to simplify some things. So I think that's, you know, part of why we love to define, we love to label, we love to collect these sort of terms and develop community around them. There's 7.5 billion people on the planet. We want to have some sense of tribe,
yeah,
for ourselves, even if that might not be geographical.
Do you think there's always kind of, do you think there are some positive, Do you think that definition isn't just like a negative thing, but it's also a positive thing?
Oh, I think it's a hugely positive thing.
Yeah.
I think all of these things can be really, really wonderful. I mean, one of the things about identity and labels is it helps you find community. Like I said, it helps you communicate this concept with some baseline, you know, generalized sort of round down to this sort of identity. And if you can find someone who knows what that is and shares that with you, that can like skip you forward like 8 or 12 steps in the relationship towards how you're able to develop some rapport with each other. And I think that part of labels is really lovely. A lot of people get confused. They say, oh, you know, you're anti-label. No, I'm not anti-label. What I am is I want to be realistic about what the labels can do for us and their words. It's about communication. So as long as they're serving you to find identity and community, great. Honestly, use them, collect them. That's fantastic. But where we have a problem is if they become limitations for you, if you're fitting in instead of belonging, if you're having more of a sense of, I'm sort of conforming, because if I am completely honest with myself and with other people about that, I'm going to get some negative feedback. That's the limitation, right? And that's where it can become negative.
So it's definitely one of those things where you're either for or against. Like, people aren't kind of, haven't got their head around the fact that you might just be kind of lingering in between when it comes to like labels and definitions.
Well, I think we all are on spectrums in all these things. I think we just round up and down.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, like if, I'm presuming you use the identity of a woman. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. You know, if you use that term, there's a whole set of ideas people will have about what that means here versus some other country versus somewhere else. And those might be kind of close, but you're still going to sort of round up or down to their image of what that is, right? The main thing you have to do is talk to a person to find out who they really are. So I think it's okay to be, I think we're all in between and all these things.
And looking back at your show, are you kind of doing this within the show? You're talking to people about like you as a person and what you identify with, and is it really just like somebody sitting down and being able to really understand you, and through understanding you they're able to kind of learn more about these definitions?
Well, there is a little bit of me talking about it, and there's a small amount of education at the beginning because I've got to speed people up through, here's gender 101. Not all of us have been to gender studies. Okay, that's fine. Here's the difference between gender and sex, and here's all these different things.
Yeah.
And I try to find clever ways to communicate that to people quickly. I use music in my show a lot. Like, hey, it's a scale, like a music scale. Here we go. but I also, it's not a lecture. There might be little, you know, inspirational moments, you know, especially at the end, I talk a bit more about it, but it's mostly me, okay, this happened to me, which made it impossible for me to continue believing that that was my limitation in that particular word or that particular label or identity. Switch gears, now what? Mm-hmm. And so I go through about 5 or 6 different proclivities around my own sense of self and my interest in other people, gender, sexuality. There's quite a, you know, racy little sex scene in there. If you're into that sort of thing, it might be some of the best sort of things that you've never seen in theater before ever. But yeah, really it's about having an experience as it forces me absolutely out of thinking the way I used to about myself and other people, and kind of going, now what? And then coming to find a community and having limitations around what's acceptable to them, and then going, oh, now what? You know? And so where it gets funny in parodies is just how ridiculous human beings are. We really are. We really try to simplify things, all of us do, even if we've been through something so similar. You know, one of the first stages when people come out is they get really restrictive about everyone else's identity. And this is true with little kids as well. As soon as they figure out the difference between boys and girls, and this is different, then they become gender police. They become the worst gender, because they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to go, oh, this is that, and this is that, and this is that. And I think we do that about a lot of stuff.
What process did you find yourself kind of going through to learn, to discover and expose these tensions about being authentic to yourself and also belonging?
Sexuality has a way of breaking a person open. confronting, what am I really into here? So that's one of them. I think just feedback. I think that's something we forget, is identity is so much about feedback and It's not decided by one person. This is kind of a controversial idea I'm playing with, is that identity, we like to think of ourselves as self-determining. Mm-hmm. But actually, there's two processes going on. There's a self-determining process of going, I feel this. And then there's another process going on of other people evaluating you and sort of deciding, are they going to let you in with your own self-concept or not? And we're not quite sure how to deal with that tension. But in terms of process of building the show, I realized eventually I've been writing for a long time. I'm a playwright and I've been an actor and I'm trained in theater and now I'm moving my way towards comedy as much as humanly possible, because I think it's how we've got to relate about some of these things that we're just overwhelmed on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just realizing that I have a really strange story. Like, it's not, I mean, there's some parts about it that if you're queer are like, oh yeah, okay, I've had a lot of that happen. But then there's this other section, like probably the last quarter maybe of my show is, you just realize that things happen to you. I mean, I'm an insatiably curious person. That's part of the problem, is I can't help myself. If I'm curious about something, I'll engage.
Yeah.
But those experiences will often shake me up and change me and force me to think in different ways. I don't want to ruin like what the actual events are that happen. You're just going to have to come to the show to see them, but they're probably not what you're expecting.
And I kind of wanted to ask finally, is there anything that through the show you're really wanting people to kind of grasp or take away with them?
Yeah, definitely. The main thing is to make lots of space for yourself and other people and to be humble to your own life experiences, because we have this way of interpreting and reinterpreting everything that happens to us according to our current story and identity, and it doesn't change until something really dramatic happens. So just to keep flexible, like we're all capable of anything. I think we all have a whole universe in us, and this putting on identities and roles and things like that is this beautiful like human game that we play in this lifetime, and to let it be playful, to let it be like fun, and just sort of loosen up and enjoy it and laugh, have a laugh about it, because it's funny, it's fucking funny, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I'm aiming to do, and to make space for other people in all the ways I can't expect, in the same way that I'd like people to make space for me as a genderqueer individual, as somebody mm-hmm. who identifies neither quite man or woman, but who has not a whole lot of visual representations for anyone to automatically assume that unless they have a conversation with me.
Cool. Awesome. Hey, thank you so much, Ren, for coming in this morning and speaking to us about The Queer as Fuck, which is going to be playing at, I believe, the
Q Theatre Vault, like not far away. And if I can put like a 2-second pitch, tonight is opening night. It's 6:45. If anyone wants to come, I have my cheapest possible tickets tonight, $10 tickets. If you can make it tonight, just don't be late, because it is quite a roller coaster of an hour of a ride. And I'd love to have you. If you can't come to tonight's show, I've got a code just for the BFM listeners. If you want to type in genderqueer, GenderQueer on the Q Theatre site, or go to the box office and use that code, that will give you the second best for cheapest tickets you can possibly get. I think they're like $15
I do urge all listeners to head along to The Queer as Fuck, which is happening at Q Theatre. It's on tonight, 21st, all the way up until the 25th of February. Thank you so much, Ren, for coming
for
in this morning. And good luck to you. And I hope that you're going to keep on writing, keep on making.
Oh, yeah. I'm here and I'm here to stay. And I'm going to be here, be queer, be proud and loud and all those things.
Cool. Thank you so much for joining us.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.